Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary. That's right. Our last segment of this program, our 652nd, has to do with a word chosen honestly at random earlier in the program by my wife, who thumbed through it. And by the way, let me just make sure that I've got, there we go. She thumbed through the dictionary, like so, and put her finger down on a word. And then my job, as part of this segment, is to think for a bit and try and come up with stuff to talk about involving that word, either anecdotal or stuff in my life, or hell, make up some stuff, whatever it takes. I kind of lost, oh, there are my notes, cool. And I've had fun doing that for a bunch of weeks now. So the words have included everything from erythrocyte to hue, like the color. What were some of the others that we had? What were a couple of the other words? Chlorate, fob off, nocturne, snobbery, spleen. Spleen was a good one. Tap, ultra. So, yeah, this time, of all the words that my wife, all the words out of 75,000 that my wife's finger could have landed upon, she picks, honest to God, by accident, the word virgin. I kid you not. So let me give you the definition of virgin. According to Merriam-Webster, it's a noun. An unmarried woman devoted to religion. Isn't that interesting? That is the first definition. Huh. Which comes even before, well, a woman who doesn't come, an unmarried girl or woman, especially the mother of Jesus, or actually the fourth definition of virgin, all the way down, is a person who has not had sexual intercourse. How interesting that that is the fourth definition down on virgin, and also it can be an adjective, as in free from stain, which, yeah, none of my underwear is virginal. I can just say that. What else? Chaste, befitting a virgin, modest, and, of course, I can't read this without glasses now, but it's fresh, unspoiled, not altered by human activity, like a virgin forest, and also initial and first, our virgin expedition, as it were. So there's our word. That is our Dave's Big Dictionary word for the week. So how am I going to put my big dictionary into a virgin? How will I do this? Well, a couple of things I want to talk about, and no, I'm just not in the mood or the mode or any kind of temperament to talk about how I lost my virginity. Nope, not even. Just be aware, I've been married for 20-something years. I did, a long while ago. It was fun. I was happy to do it. And then, let's leave that aside. What else can I talk about the word virgin, though? I can talk, well, something that and people have talked about this idea, what the hell? What is it with olive oil? Okay, I know, you wanted me to talk about sex, but I'm talking about olives, because I love you. So, virgin olive oil, extra virgin olive. I had to look it up before, because what the hell is this? You pay more, obviously, for the extra, and the virgin. What is it? It's olives. You take an olive, you go, you smush it, and you get juice out of it, and then you cook with it. So what the hell's the difference between olives and whatever? Olives, what do they do? I mean, it's not as if they take olive oil, and then they mix it with sugar and bay leaves and lard, and then that's not olive oil anymore. But what they did, it's apparently, and you all know this, I guess, the processing of what they do to get the juice, the oil, out of the olives. So when they do it with the virgin or the extra virgin olive oil, they press it, and it's pure, and it goes in, and it's darker, and apparently it's less acidic. No, I hear Rabbi Solomon outside the door saying less acidic than the other types of olive oil. It's a more literally pure, virginal kind of olive thing. Whereas olive oil that's pressed and pressed again tends to be more acid, it tends to be lighter in color, and you don't get as intense an olive-y flavor in your olive oil. So that's why people pay more for the extra virgin as opposed to just the virgin, which has a little more processing, as opposed to regular olive oil. Who knows what they do from that? Maybe geese swallow the olives and they have to take the goose shit and turn that into olive oil. Not sure, but it's got more stuff going on between the physical fruit and the stuff that you put in the pan and cook with and put on your salad. So that's my take on virgin olive oil. Since I don't like olives to begin with, I don't care. It's nothing to me. I would happily cook with corn oil. I love corn. Sunflower oil, safflower oil. For me, those taste better. But for people who care about this sort of thing, there you go. Okay, not that much to say about... I thought I have more interesting things to say about virgin olive oil. I guess I don't. I would say that at some point, after all these years, she should probably put out for Popeye. You know, he's waited, he's fought for her honor against Bluto again and again. It's time for olive oil to at least get to, like, third base. Yeah. I understand she's probably afraid of Popeye's hand, because he's got all those muscles, and she's pretty tight and thin. But not going there, okay. What else do I want to say about the word virgin? What else can I possibly... Oh, another confusing thing. So I didn't know what the hell, up until like moments ago, the difference between olive oil and virgin, extra virgin olive oil was. The other big confusing thing, me being Jewish, had to do with the Virgin Mary, right? Because of all things, you figure the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, whatever you want to say, it's a literary work of fiction written by old white men, some of them Jewish, some of them formerly Jewish. It's just, you know, got some good ideas in it, but really don't necessarily believe that God up on Mount whatever the hell it was, Ararat, wrote it. Thousands of words, had literary allusions, storytelling powers, and different kinds of literary style in the first couple of chapters and the whole rest of the book. Nonsense. Okay, fine. So you've got this book. You would figure that the people who are telling the story of Jesus, in whom I do not believe, but if you're crafting a story, why would you name two people with the same first name? There's so many other names out there. Right? You know, there's only one Moses, only one Nebuchadnezzar. Right? It's not like Nebuchadnezzar Jr. I mean, you have one, and then that's it. But somehow, whoever wrote the New Testament thought, you know what? Let's have two women, and they're both important to this person's life, and we'll call them both Mary. Let's make this really interesting, because one of them gives birth to the Savior, and one of them is like the girlfriend of the Savior. We'll call them both Mary. And then you got the Virgin Mary. And it's like, what the hell? How is she? Is this idea that when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, I think this is the thing, that she gave birth to him virginally? Or I still get this confused. Or was Mary virginally born, right? And she and Joseph actually had Jesus together. I should have looked this up. Now I've forgotten this. Hold on. I'm going to look up the Virgin Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary is a very different thing. Virgin Mary. Here we go. So according to the New Testament, what the hell happened to her? She conceived Jesus without the help of Joseph. Maybe this was an example of panspermia that we were talking about before. Maybe that comet came down and there were Jesus spores from some other galaxy. And, you know, she was sleeping, went up her dress, went boom, and 9 months later she had a regular, basically human baby, right, through a virgin birth conception. Why they had to make this so incredibly confusing? And then, of course, we've got the Virgin Madonna complex. We've got one Mary who was a virgin, but not really, because she was just a virgin giving birth to Jesus. She was married. She was banging Joseph. And then you've got the whore who became just a good friend of Jesus. A little bit kinky. She apparently washed his feet. She had a foot fetish of some sort. So, I can't deal with all this confusion. Just next time anybody writes a Bible, whether it's the Mormons, whether it's the Muslims, whether Jews add some more Apocrypha, or they find more Dead Sea Scrolls, don't tell me there's another Solomon. Don't tell me there's another David in the book, or another Abraham. No, that's the other guy who did the two names, Abraham. Because first he was Abram, and then they put the H in his name for God, whatever. I mean, what do you have to do? Do you have to go to, like, downtown to the courts and file papers to legally change his name? Weird book, the Bible. I'm all over the place with this. I should have told the story about how I lost my virginity. I'm not going to. What is there anything else I can say about Virgin? Virgin Atlantic? No, I don't think I've ever ridden in a Virgin plane. I like Virgin Records. They were pretty important for a while. They had some good people on them. Virgin Forest? Virgin... Nope. I'm coming up chaste in my brain. I'm coming up empty on this one, although I guess I could talk a little bit about the idea of chastity and this sort of just say no, just be careful idea, or these girls who take these vows when they're 14, 15, 16, or what have you, where they vow they're going to remain chaste. They're not going to have sex. They'll do everything else. I mean, they will take... I guess, I'm not sure about this, but they'll take legs of tables and insert them in various orifices. But the one thing they won't do is let a boy go up in the woohoo. And I guess that's okay. Yeah, if you make that choice, that's your choice. I think it's just like the war on drugs. It's naive, at the very least, to think that you can tell a 15, 16, 17-year-old under peer pressure from friends to say, don't try marijuana, don't try that, don't do that. If anything, that will only move them to at least try something once or twice every single time. And really the thing is to monitor them and to make sure that they're not doing it every weekend and getting addicted and going with the wrong people and doing it the wrong way. Same thing with sex and same thing with virginity. I mean, it's nice. It's a nice idea that a woman will protect her body, and it is a very personal, intimate thing to let another human being to go physically in as opposed to just doing stuff on or nice, rubby under clothing, fine. But to mandate that or to assume that kids are just going to be able, when they've been out, when it's prom night, when they're getting really close together, when they're doing foreplay and all sorts of other things, to suddenly stop and say, woohoo, no, it's just not, it's a continuous naivete. You can hope, and you can tell your kids, hey, abstinence, it's a great thing. Really recommend it. You don't want to do something that you'll regret. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you really wait until the right person or until marriage, if that's the right thing for you? Or, you know, until you find the right sheep on the farm and you're like, ooh, that's the one. But, you know, I'm for abstinence, but I cannot promote it. I cannot push it. I promote a common sense approach to that and drugs and guns and, of course, potatoes. I hope that made some sense in our Dave's Big Dictionary segment of the Dave's Gone By radio program of the stream, live with you here on this Saturday, May 26th, 2018.